Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, back in the saddle again here at One Bills Drive, Highmark Stadium. Sal Capaccio with you. Going to head over to the media room again a little bit later. We're going to hear today from Bobby Babich ahead of practice. The Bills will be on the practice field at 12:30 p.m. today. Once again, just like yesterday. And yesterday kind of brought some surprises that we can talk about here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks for being with me. Northtown Automotive. It is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, like I said, and is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Yeah, a few surprises yesterday at practice. Good surprises. I mean, we knew that the Bills were, you know, some players were kind of, you know, getting ready to return to practice in some capacity. But I did not expect to walk out to practice and see Cole Bishop out there in a red jersey, Javon Solomon practicing, Casey Tuhill practicing, Austin Johnson practicing. So, yeah, I mean, they still have a very long list of injuries. There's no doubt about it. But to get some of these guys back was a really good sign, positive sign, and trending that way. Now, maybe, and who knows who's next? Mike Edwards, hopefully, at some point. I know Sean McDermott said earlier this week on a Zoom call with the media that both Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop were going to start doing some individual work and, you know, getting back on the field in some capacity, basically. That wasn't Mike Edwards yesterday. That was Cole Bishop. Linebacker Nicholas Morrow yesterday also took part in individual drills. I did not see him take any defensive reps, though. He may have. I don't think he did. So that's the good news. Those players are at least kind of starting to come back. And again, like I said, maybe Mike Edwards this week from what McDermott said on Monday. Maybe that's today. We'll get out there a little bit later today. We'll hear from Bobby Babich. That's at noon. And then practice begins at 12:30. Damar Hamlin still sidelined. He's got a hamstring. He did not practice yesterday. He was on the side. Curtis Samuel, turf toe. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, neck. Quinton Morris, shoulder. Baylen Specter, calf. Mitch Trubisky, knee, still not out there. So the list is still long. There's no doubt about it. But hopefully today, maybe even some more guys start to kind of filter back into practice a little bit. They got to get through one more game. Got to get through one more game. That's Saturday against the Carolina Panthers right here at Highmark Stadium. I think it's going to be beautiful weather. Going to get Patrick Cameron on Friday to talk about that. I think. I haven't checked in with Pat, make sure he's good for Friday, but usually we do talk about what's going to happen on the weather. But it's Kids Day. Kids Day on Saturday here at Highmark. 9 a.m. is when all the stuff starts happening in the parking lot. Gates don't open until 11, but 9 a.m. is when all the kids' stuff's happening. And you can bring the kids, have a great time. Then if you have a ticket to the game, you get in at 11. There's a lot more stuff going on inside the game for Kids Day. No, the kids aren't going to see Josh Allen, sorry, or James Cook, or Terrell Bernard, or any of the real main starters on the team. We know that. Sean McDermott said that the other day. But it's still a chance to see their Buffalo Bills, right? And that's cool. And it's always a cool day out here at Kids Day. And then it's it, right? Then you get to next week. Final cuts on Tuesday, 4 o'clock. We are less than a week away from NFL teams trimming their rosters down to 53 players. I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to go through the roster a bit here. I mean, I haven't done a projected 53. Maybe I can do kind of a loose one with you today. Because I think that, and again, I don't know, maybe not officially, but I'll try and do it kind of the exercise on the air here. Kind of go through it a little bit, position by position, where they're at. Want to hear from you today, though, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. And when you do that, of course, that is getting connected with our fans. And getting connected with our fans, always brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Before I forget, I heard a call in the last hour of Jeremy and Joe. Caller's name was Jim. Jim laid out he's very well-spoken, laid out thought and argument and opinion about Sean McDermott. And the opinion basically was that he only beats bad quarterbacks, doesn't beat good quarterbacks. And he kept saying, I think we can all agree, which maybe might be like a reflex because I don't agree with that. And I actually went back and looked, and I would say Jim is correct in saying that in the playoffs, the Bills have only really beaten one high-level quarterback, a two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson, right? They beat Skylar Thompson. They beat Mason Rudolph. Of course, like those are the court, Mac Jones, right? I mean, totally get it. You can only play who's on your schedule. That's fine. I get the overall point was about he's not some defensive genius. He just feasts on bad quarterbacks. Okay, let me at least kind of, I think it doesn't have to be all or nothing here, right? There's always some nuance to this discussion. And I think everybody knows here, right? Like, I think Sean McDermott's an excellent football coach. I don't think he's above reproach. And, you know, if this season doesn't go well, I think we're having discussions about, you know, where the future lies. No issue with that whatsoever. I'm not clamoring for the Bills to move on from him. I know some of you are. And I respect those arguments because of where they've only hit since he's been here with the teams they've had. I get all that. But I do push back on the idea that he's not a really, really terrific defensive mind and coach. And certainly, the defense did falter at times last year at the end of games, given different circumstances. And that's on him, and he owns that, and he has to. It's also, I think, circumstance of injuries that were happening throughout the year. And, yeah, you could say, hey, bad call here, blitz against Russell Wilson, right? I mean, people say he's too passive. Then he gets a little aggressive. That winds up beating you. So there's always a nuance there, no doubt about it. I went back to 2022. I know it's 2 years ago because last year they did not face great quarterbacks last year. There's no doubt. We can go through that too. So, but for Jim, like just kind of thinking about what he was talking about, and I was listening here, and I went back and looked. In 2022, in the first 8 weeks of the season, the Bills beat Matthew Stafford, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, and Aaron Rodgers in the first 8 weeks of the season. I would say that's not feasting on bad quarterbacks. Last year, they did not face great quarterbacks. They did beat Tua. Who is in here? I don't know. Baker Mayfield had an okay year, but it's Baker Mayfield, right? What are you going to do there? They did beat Patrick Mahomes again, and they did beat Dak Prescott, but again, not in the playoffs, for sure. I just don't think it's right to say that. It's not correct. My biggest argument, my biggest pushback when someone tells me about or says only beats the bad teams or falters throughout unless you're feasting on bad quarterbacks is this. This is my biggest point against something like that, which is they are the second winningest team in the NFL over the last 5 years. Are they only playing bad quarterbacks and all the other teams are playing good quarterbacks? And that's why they have that record? I don't think that's the case. Now, they have a challenge on their hands this year with the quarterbacks they're facing, right? And it starts right off the gate with Kyler Murray, Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Lamar, CJ Stroud, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that first 6 weeks is bam. And even if you want to just not put Kyler Murray on that list, that's fine, right? Or Trevor Lawrence, whatever. But they're all still at least guys who can win games. And we know that and present certain challenges. So I don't. You want to talk about winning in the playoffs, not getting over the hump. Totally respected. It's totally fair. There's a lot of stuff there that you could point to. There's no doubt, right? But to say they only beat bad quarterbacks is just not true. The Bills have beaten a lot of good quarterbacks over the last, I say, 5 years, while winning the second most games in the NFL. And I do think that Sean McDermott is a very good defensive coach, but has had issues in the playoffs with closing out games. And that's on him. And that's on this team. There's no doubt. But it doesn't have to be all or nothing, right? That's where I go. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It's not always, and as Jim is saying, I think we can all agree. No, we don't all agree. I don't agree with that take. But I do think there's some fairness in, hey, once you get to the tournament, the playoffs, and you face this high-level quarterback, and you lose. I mean, Lamar Jackson, they did do a great job on Lamar that day. You know, I don't know what I want to do sometimes with the 2022 season because of what happened at the end of the year. And I mean, they were just, like, I was around the team. They were just so, so gassed, you know, playing against even Skylar Thompson, right? That was and Josh loses a fumble in the end zone. They're down in the game. They really didn't move the ball that well. And then they wound up making a few plays late in the game, you know? So I think there's always a lot of nuance to a lot of these discussions that we have. But I just wanted to address that because I heard that and I didn't agree with it. But I also think that it's a really interesting discussion given what this schedule looks like this year, because this schedule this year is very tough when it comes to quarterbacks. Now, it doesn't have to be as you get to that point. Every team changes. Every team has injuries. Every team becomes different than what you thought they were maybe. Look, I love CJ Stroud. I think he is phenomenal in what he did in his rookie year. Are we positive he'll stay like that and continue to be that incredible quarterback? Maybe. I mean, chances are he'll still be really, really good. But now that there's a lot more film on him, teams have had a chance to kind of look at it and diagnose it. Like, that's an example for me of, you know, what will it be when they play the Houston Texans in week 5 on October 6th? What is Aaron Rodgers week 6, October 14th? Right? I mean, then you do have, let's say Aaron Rodgers just isn't Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't recovered fully, come back, and been, you know, he's not playing at MVP level, and he just looks like an older guy out there after a torn Achilles, right? Let's just say that's the case. Well, they could then have a stretch of Rodgers, Will Levis, Geno Smith, Tua, who the Bills have done a very good job on, and Sean McDermott has done an excellent job on, and Anthony Richardson, who we don't know of. Like, there's a good 4 week stretch in there where it does lighten up a little bit. But you could also have the swing the other way, which is, what if Rodgers is the old Rodgers and Levis takes another step? I mean, who knows what Seattle is at that time with Geno Smith? I don't know. And then what if Tua and Anthony Richardson are just, you know, playing lights out according to their own skill sets and strengths? I mean, it is and of course, right after that, you have Mahomes and a bye week and Brock Purdy. Woo. It's tough. September 8th, 1:00, Arizona Cardinals. The Bills at practice yesterday, I think we're starting to do a little bit of game planning, you know, for Arizona a little bit lightly. It seemed like they were doing some, you know, different stuff to kind of show some different looks to the offense and defense. So, you know, that starts to happen right around now. 803-0550 is the number to call. Anyway, good discussion there. Want to get into that. I want to talk about Tua a little bit and what happened. The whole Brian Flores thing, this came up yesterday. I didn't really have a chance to touch on it yesterday, so I'd like to do that today. At 10:30, sometime after 10:30, maybe, might have Paul Hamilton. He's got some things going on schedule-wise, but if he can join me, he's going to. I want to ask him about the Patrick Laine trade. I want to ask him about the Sabres, where they are right now. Goaltending situation, what that's going to look like this year. Kind of just catch up a little bit on the Sabres as we head a little bit more towards the end of August into September. And then, of course, it's going to be preseason time, training camp, preseason. You have the prospects tournament coming up. So want to catch up with Paul. Paul's been down here at the stadium as well, you know, helping out in training camp. He was here yesterday while Joe Brady was talking. So, you know, we'll just, if we can, and Paul's available, he's going to join me in the next half hour. And then at 11 o'clock, my buddy Josh Reed's going to join me, WIVB TV Channel 4 Sports Director. He was out at practice yesterday, and we'll get his thoughts on a lot of things, you know, going on with the Bills. Let's get to your phone calls. First of all, let's go to David in Tonawanda. Hi, David. You're on WGR.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. After watching last game, I want to see exactly how you guys would feel on possibly Andreessen actually making this roster with seeing this kid with 12 tackles and on as an undrafted rookie. I honestly think this would be something phenomenal to add on to this defense. His play calling was pretty good. He was able to read everybody else's offensive lines. I honestly think that this is definitely a kid that should get a chance on this roster. Let's just say you have Bernard go down or something like that. You have him to look back to, or have him in that middle spot where Milano was. Have him and Bernard basically on the same exact page. I think it would be definitely be something good for this defensive side.
Yeah, David, thanks. I'll touch on Andreessen here. And, you know, kind of you have a lot there. And it's an incredible story now, and no doubt. A lot of people are basically David's calling kind of for the masses, I think, right? Like, Dave, your call is a lot of people right now and what they think and what they want. And you're representing a lot of Bills fans as you say what you just said for the last minute or so. Let me start with 12 tackles. Phenomenal, right? I mean, I don't think he had 12 tackles in a college game. I have to go back and look. I thought I read that somewhere. It's not just the 12 tackles. 12 tackles are great. It's how he made them that were more impressive to me. Like where he was making them, how he was making them. You can have 12 tackles as a defender in an NFL game, 5-6 yards down the field every time because you're chasing backside. You can't catch up to it. That wasn't the case. This guy was at the line of scrimmage. He was shedding blocks. He was getting through blockers. He was diagnosing. He was tackling Justin Fields in the open field. Like that's what I look at. Sean McDermott said on Monday, if you can find the ball, you can find the ball. And I love that. Like that he said that. That's a good kind of phrase, right? Just kind of think about where they're thinking. Hey, if you can find the ball, you can find the ball. And that's right. He wasn't fooled. Now, here would be the little bit of thing that I'm concerned, not concerned, I'm wondering about. Not concerned, but wonder. What does happen when teams start to game plan a little bit? He has to react more to play action, to misdirection. I mean, he might be great at it. I don't know. But teams aren't game planning necessarily for Joe Andreessen, you know, or even in overall totality for a preseason game. The Steelers, I don't think, were doing that necessarily. It was their starting offense, though, right? And that says a lot. As far as making the team, look, I think he's got a legit shot right now. I really do. I had people the other day saying, oh my God, how can you even say he's a legit shot? He's a lock. He's not a lock. He's not at all a lock. I mean, if he makes it, I guess you could call up and say, I told you he was a lock. He's not a lock right now. There's no way he can be. I mean, this team has Terrell Bernard. Dorian Williams is the backup to Matt Milano. By the way, Dave, I'm going to get to that because you mentioned it, and I want to go through that in a second. They drafted Eddie Ulofosio. I just don't think they want to move on from him. They have Nicholas Morrow, who they signed as a free agent. They have Bill Inspector, who they drafted a couple years ago, who they think very highly of and started in a playoff game. The thing that's helping, unfortunately, because of injuries, Joe Andreessen, is that Bill Inspector has been out and Nicholas Morrow is still out and just starting to return. Now, they do have Deion Jones as well. He's more of a will linebacker, more of a, you know, Matt Milano, that's his position. Sideline to sideline, will linebacker, they're just different positions. They are a little bit interchangeable. But on Andreessen playing Milano's spot, McDermott was...
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I was asked about that on Monday, and just so everybody knows what he said, when he was asked if Andreessen could play will linebacker, fill in for Matt Milano, he could play there. He said they actually did train him a little bit at will linebacker, weak side, when he first got to Buffalo and they signed him. But then a few weeks ago, they moved him strictly to the middle. And look, he's a rookie. And that's what you do. I know you want to be as flexible as possible, but you also have only so much you can put on people's plates. And if you want Joe Andreessen to play fast and to just know exactly what he's doing at Mike linebacker, then you make the argument that then we're not going to necessarily put all that at the will linebacker spot on him to learn that as well. But if your philosophy is also to get the best 11 on the field, at some point, maybe you visit that if that is one of your best 11, which is wild to say, right? I actually wonder, could Bernard move over to will linebacker at some point because Andreessen is so good in the middle? I don't know. I mean, the guy's his relative athletic score, as I went through yesterday, was awesome coming out of college. I went over this yesterday. I tweeted about it yesterday as well. You can find it at Sal Sports. Joe Andreessen's relative athletic score, his RAS, as they call it, and this is not the end-all, be-all. It's just a good gauge of how athletic someone is compared to their peers when evaluating them and putting them through all these drills. His relative athletic score was 85th out of close to 3,000 linebackers since 1987. I mean, that's crazy. So why didn't he get drafted? I have no idea. The only thing I can guess, and I'll have to look into it, and I'll ask people if I can, you know, and try to get more of an answer on this. It's just so tough to evaluate a guy coming out of Bryant University and then 1 year at the University of Buffalo. It's hard. I mean, you can have all the athleticism in the world. How many players have we seen who've had incredible careers at lower level colleges, but they just don't translate to the NFL because it's such a different game. For him, it feels like it's not. It's the same game for him. But that's probably why. And scouts and GMs get it wrong all the time, right? We know that. they don't want to hitch their wagon to a guy that, well, he went to Bryant University and then went to UB for a year. And, you know, they're taking a chance on that instead of a guy who went to the SEC or the ACC. And, of course, I mean, even the Bills and every team do draft small school guys. I'm not saying they don't. But that's probably why he wasn't drafted more than anything. It's just, it's a super cool story. I'm really excited to see if he can follow it up on Saturday, because I think he's going to get more of a shot on Saturday. I mean, if you go through the linebacker list, and I'm looking at it now, okay, Milano's out. We know that. You know, what do they do with his roster spot? Not really sure how that's going to totally work out yet. He'll be on IR in some capacity, I'm sure. How many do you keep? Because you have Bernard, Williams, Spector, Morrow. That's four. And if you keep five, I think Joe Andreessen has a legit shot. And honestly, he could be in your top four at this point. So, yeah, I mean, I'm here for it. I'm here for the story. I think it's great. I think it's a great local story, but it's a great football story, too. It doesn't matter where the guy's from. He's making plays. And that's what you do at that position. You make plays. You find the ball. Marvin, what's going on, Marvin? How are you, buddy?
Morning, Sal. Well, I haven't talked to you in a while, bud. I just want to take on Coleman. I've watched, and I walked on the football station. I watched the Bills game over and over. So they repeat the games. Coleman does not get any separation whatsoever. And I, in my opinion, when he's not in the play, he's lazy off the ball. I mean, I watch the guy; it looks like he's jogging. And a guy 4'6". I remember I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I listened to Stephen Brownie. But
why would that hurt my feelings?
Well,
they're friends of mine.
Listen, I'm just teasing. But I said that Steve.
I listened to him too.
Andreessen, that he's good athletic, and he's 4'6", which is a little slow, but he plays fast. You're talking about a linebacker running a 4'6". That's what our receiver is doing. It's the people are all over him. He can't make separation, and I think he's going to be another Benjamin. And my suggestion to him is start eating a lot more of that candy and cookies, gain weight, and play tight end, because he does not have receiver speed at all. Other than the two games in college that he was, you know, lights out. You look at his college highlights. There are two games mainly. So I hope that he does good. I mean, he seems like a real likable guy, but my opinion is he can't get separation to save his life. And if I was the coaches, which they don't listen to me though, if they did, you know, when even if the ball's not coming to you, pretend like it is and get off the ball and not just half step it. You know what I mean? And
yeah, I mean, I haven't seen him, like as you termed it, be lazy. But I agree with you that like no matter where the play is or what you are doing in the play, you need to go 100% full speed and do your part. No doubt about that. And I hope that's something he's doing. I'm not sure. I look at Marvin. It was the concern of him coming out, the separation. I will tell you what I've seen is he does not get separation off the ball. Usually he doesn't get separation running by people. Where he gets separation is when the ball's in the air and he can use his length and he can use his body control. That's where it is. And that's when you hope that, and I think the Bills understood that. They didn't draft him to run by people, right? We all know that. They drafted him, I think, to have a guy that, hey, when the ball's in a certain spot, he can catch it way better than someone else. I'm not saying you're wrong. You're not wrong at all, Marvin, but I don't think the Bills are using him to be a separator, if that makes sense, and that's not going to be his role anyway.
And one last thing is, what they're paying Knox, they should try to peddle him, because for the value they're getting for the money, he's a nice guy and everything, and he does a lot with the community. But it's at the end of the day, this is what bothers me. This is a product. And you have to put the best product out there. You don't pay somebody that kind of money for the production that they're getting. And I appreciate taking my call, Sal. It's always a pleasure.
All right, you got it, Marvin. They can't trade Dawson Knox without taking on a massive cap hit, just so you know. I mean, that's just not going to happen. They traded Dawson Knox today. It would cost them over $5 million in cap space, and they would save 2.6. They'd have $5 million dead money, and you're not doing that. Look, I agree that like Dawson Knox is getting paid more than what probably a guy in his role up to this point should be paid. I get all that, and it's something that came up when he was signed. I would just caution this though for everybody, all right? Let it play out a little bit this year. and see where it goes, because I think Dawson Knox is going to have a much bigger role this year. I think they are going to really lean into 12 personnel. And you may still say he's overpaid, but I think it'll be a lot more in line with what his role is as you go on here with Dawson Knox. But we'll see, right? I think he's going to be on the field a lot. I think they're going to play a lot of 12 personnel, and I don't think that contract's going to look nearly like it does to a lot of people in about a month and a half from now than it might right now. But certainly, Marvin, right. I mean, that's not the first time we've heard the call and people saying, I mean, oh my God, I can't believe how much you paid the guy. He did adjust the contract a little bit over this offseason, I believe. He was renegotiated, reducing his compensation from by $4.5 million over the next couple years in return for 17 in guarantees. So yeah, look, he's not going anywhere. Got a lot of money in guarantees. I think he's a very, very solid number two tight end, by the way. The question is, how much do you pay a solid number two tight end? And look, if Dalton Kincaid were to go down, if he twists his ankle and miss four games, you have a good tight end in Dawson Knox. Like, he can play. He's not Dalton Kincaid, but he can play. And I just want to see where this goes with him. Thanks, Marvin, for the phone call. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll see if Paul Hamels can squeeze in at some point here. I know that he's got some things going on. If not, we'll just take more of your phone calls. We'll get up to Josh Reed at 11 a.m. We have Bobby Babich speaking at noon today. Bills on the practice field at 12:30.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting balance, because you also want to be able to have true live rep that you're checking out some of the things you're working on, checking out some of your theories. So way more than in the past, you're flirting with doing things and showing things just to get a chance to rep them against another team.
That is Bills special teams coordinator Matthew Smiley. He was on this morning. Really good interview, by the way. Check it out on demand, WGR550.com and the Odyssey app. He was on with Jeremy and Joe. That happened at about 6:15 this morning. He was on. They told him that he was their, like, earliest guest ever. I don't know. Is that true? Like, we've done... Haven't you guys... Josh, you can never remember someone. Come on, like, right at the top of the show. Have I ever...
I think you've done that.
Have I ever had to do that? Like, being out at an event or something? I don't know.
I feel like you've definitely done that once or twice, but I...
Maybe. I just don't want to have the mantle taken away, but maybe not. Maybe not. He might have. If it's not... Okay, how about a non-Odyssey even employee, right? Like, has he just a regular guest? It's, if we've never had one at 6:05, top of the show, I think we have. I think we have.
I don't think... Well, in my time as producer, I don't think we have. I'm not sure, though. I can't...
All right.
I can't
remember. Well, I'll give him credit. He was here right and early this morning. He's getting ready for practice today. The Bills are today as well. They're going to be on the field at 12:30 p.m. Matthew Smiley spoke with Jeremy and Joe this morning. They covered a lot of stuff on the special teams situation and the kickoffs. And one of the questions was about Joe Andreessen and him, you know, playing special teams. And he said he's been a part of the special teams room since he got there, which is really interesting as well. I have a tweet here at Sal Sports. I just read, okay, I love this. Break room, Cruiser. Here we go. He says, Morrow is getting cut. Spectre to IR in one of those two spots. That makes Andreessen making the top five. Bernard, Dorian Williams, Ulofosio, Andreessen and Jones. I can see it. Actually, the one on that list I would have even more, like, the question wouldn't even be Andreessen. It would be Jones, Deion Jones. I don't know if he does, but they might by necessity need to keep a guy like Deion Jones because of the Matt Milano injury, because they might need a guy who's a really good third down cover linebacker, and that's kind of been his specialty in his career. So maybe that does get him on. I do wonder, though, this is a great question, Cruiser, which is, do they put Spectre on IR? I mean, look, you have until next Tuesday for cuts. If he comes back and starts playing this week, I don't even know if you can, like, unless he gets hurt again. I mean, you can, but does he have an injury, right? I mean, like, there's got to be an injury there to do that. And what if he comes back this week and he's doesn't have an injury? It's like, you can't just go take a guy and say, oh, you're putting him on IR for no reason. He's got to have an injury to go along with it. But it's possible. I'm not saying it's not. And Morrow getting cut. That's the one I keep thinking more and more about, which is Nicholas Morrow on this team. Look, Nicholas Morrow. Let me just look up Nicholas Morrow right now and his career arc so far, if you want to call it that. I mean, the guy had over 100 tackles a couple years ago. It's a nice player to have. But as Matt Bove said on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with me earlier this week, and by the way, we're going to do another episode soon. You should check that out. It's on audio wherever you pod, and it's on video at the Sal Sports YouTube page. As Matt Bove said to me earlier this week, you could generally find guys like Nicholas Morrow around anyway. He said 30-year-old linebacker. He's 28. He'll be 29. Oh, he just turned 20. Oh, he just turned 29, actually. Okay, there you go. He is 29, just turned 29. 29-year-old linebacker who has 58 starts in his career. He had the one season of 116 tackles, otherwise 95 last year in Philly, 78, 73. Yeah, I mean, there are guys like that around the league, and I agree with Matt. Like, hey, it's nice to have a Nicholas Morrow on the team, but they're not unique. I would be more afraid as, you know, analyzing this team, as a fan of this team, if I'm sitting there going, who are you keeping, who are you not? I'd be more worried about letting go a guy like Joe Andreessen, who you don't really know what his ceiling is, versus a guy like Nicholas Morrow, where you kind of do, and as nice as a player he might be, you can probably still get a guy like him or even him himself again. I think that's where you stand with linebacker. And then Spector's an interesting one for me because they like Baylen Spector a lot. We know that. He actually took over as the starting linebacker in that Pittsburgh playoff game when the Bills had the injury to Milano and Tyrell Dodson was hurt. Remember that? Oh my God. Milano was out, right? We know that. Dodson got hurt. Who was next up? It wasn't Dorian Williams. It was Baylen Spector, who actually had been working at Mike, but he went to Will because they like him and his flexibility. Then he gets hurt. Then Dorian Williams has to come in. And then Bernard gets hurt as well. And that, oh my God. Remember that. We're waiting on Paul. Is Paul in there yet? We don't have Paul. Did Paul? I thought I heard you say something.
Hi,
no,
Sal.
Josh. Hi, there he is. There's Paul Hamilton. How are you, buddy? Are you in studio? Down.
I am in studio.
All right. Well, how's the studio look? Everything good? Because I'm sitting here at One Bill's Drive in the radio booth.
There's a camera here. You're like,
this has got to be a little new for you. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, you're not generally alone in the studio. I know you have Josh in the other room, but like, yeah. It's kind of new for you to be like that.
Yeah, because, you know, we have our live equipment and everything that we can use. We can go on the air from parking lots if we have to. But I have too. But yeah, it's kind of neat to be back in here.
All right, listen. First of all, I want to ask you, because you are a Lancaster resident. You live in Lancaster.
I do.
And you know that Joe Andreessen went to Lancaster High School. Mm-hmm. And the story that's happening here, you've kind of been following it, you know, like everybody else has. How cool is it? Like, how cool is this story and, you know, following along with what this guy's been able to do?
And it's not just he's kind of on the Bills to round out the 90, you know, and that type of thing. It's what he's been able to do with his opportunity. And that, I think, really makes people excited, both in Lancaster and Western New York and University of Buffalo fans, to be able to see how he was able to perform playing the whole game. John McDermott said this, and I agree 100%, the opportunity wasn't too big for him at all.
Right.
And it was great to see McDermott talk about him, and he got this look in his eyes, like this competitive look. He goes, and he's a football player. And I love it, the way he said it, and the expression on his face. You know how Sean gets when he has tough football players around, and that's how he described him. And you know, I think he did a lot for himself to show the Buffalo Bills, you know what, I could be maybe useful for you here. You know, I'm somebody that you need to, you know, take a good look at, and he'll get another big opportunity on this Saturday. And if, you know, he builds on that, how do you not have him on the roster? I think he'd be one of those guys. I always say when they go to camp, yeah, there's 90 guys there, or how many, whatever it is, 89, 90, 92, however many they wind up with. But I always say they bitch pretty much know 48 guys of who they're going to keep. They basically know what, you know, where the battles are is for those last few. And, you know, I don't know if you know, when they're thinking, all right, we know who our guys pretty much are, if they were thinking about him being one of the guys. But when you push yourself onto, and I'll take it back to hockey, they weren't thinking Zach Benson was going to be on the team last year. He played so well in training camp, and in everything that he did, he pushed his way onto a roster that he wasn't supposed to be on. And that's what I see here, is a guy pushing himself onto a roster that maybe he wasn't supposed to be on.
It's also a great lesson and something I say every year, Paul. You know this. You've covered professional sports teams for a long time. I say it every year. Teams don't just hand out roster spots because they feel good. They hand them out because they actually want to give a person a chance. Most teams do at least give that opportunity. Maybe some coaches, organizations give less of an opportunity. But every time a guy is signed in the offseason and I read, oh, he's just a camp body. Well, look it, he might wind up being that. But they're giving the guy an opportunity. Don't assume that someone just can't make a team. If you show up, there's some injuries, and you perform, and you take advantage of your opportunity, like, this is professional sports. Like, if you earn that, generally, like, they're going to get, because they want to keep the best people. And I remember this happened with Lorenzo Alexander. When Lorenzo Alexander was signed, I remember people say, oh, yeah, camp body, veteran, he's been around the league. Guess what happened? He became a starter and a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, and I remember last year, it's a little bit of a different situation because he had been there and was a draft pick, but I remember when they were looking for Edmonds' replacement. You know, I remember both Bean and McDermott saying, yeah, we're looking for guys, but you know what? We also know that maybe the guy is on the roster. Maybe the guy's already here. We'll have to wait and see. They had an inkling what they had in Bernard. He'd already been around for a year. And I think they had a good inkling of what they had there. They just needed to give him an opportunity to prove it. And in my estimation, I think you and I have talked about this before, I thought he played better than Edmonds did. And I didn't have as much problem with Edmonds as maybe a lot of people did. But I thought he was better. I thought they improved themselves there. And there was a guy that nobody thought much of. And, well, what do you mean there are guys on your roster? Who? You know, Dotson, Edmonds, who, you know, and, or not Edmonds, I'm sorry, Bernard. And, you know, who are we talking about here? Bernard, really? You know, what did he play? Started one game the year before, whatever. Well, that was the thought process, but these are football guys. They've seen him in practice. They've seen him, you know, in the opportunities he got in games. And I really think I believe them. I think they were looking outside the organization. They didn't find what they want. But I think they had in the back of their mind that maybe that guy is already here.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Her Hotline. Let's shift gears here. I want to ask you a couple of questions about the Sabres because it's kind of creeping up here, right? We're going to have prospects camp, preseason, training camp. First of all, can you fill everybody in on that timeline? What are we looking at as far as when hockey's beginning here?
Well, we have the prospects tournament. It starts on Friday, the September 13th. They'll play on the 13th, the 14th, and then on Monday, the 16th. Their first preseason game is then the next Saturday. So last year they reported to camp on Thursday with a Sunday preseason game. I'm wondering if they might report to camp on Wednesday with a Saturday one. We'll have to wait and see how that. It'll be one of those 2 days that they'll report to camp. They'll have a few practices, and it's time to go do preseason hockey. That's Saturday after the prospects tournament is over.
Paul, when it comes to goaltending, What do you feel the best way to approach Devon Levi would be this year? Now that, I mean, UPL got paid. We know he's going to start as the number one goalie. Last year, a big debate over reps in Rochester for Devon Levi versus sitting on the Sabres bench, especially the way UPL was playing. What should be, and what do you think the team's philosophy is going to be with Devon Levi this year?
I originally thought with the team, I think he's played well. He played really well at the end of last year with both Rochester and his three opportunities in Buffalo, where he had a .942 save percentage in those three opportunities when he came back up. But then I thought to myself, I went and did some research. And Lindy Ruff, we know how he handled Hasek and Miller. He played them to death. He did it in Dallas, too, with Kari Lehtinen, who played 59, 59, and 62 games in three of the 4 years Lindy was there. Lindy did, Vitek played, 50-some-odd games one of his 4 years in New Jersey. But he didn't have the goaltender really to do it. He had goaltending injuries, so he really didn't have to play a goaltender like that. So then I thought to myself, Well, if Lukanen's playing 60 games, I don't think that's enough for Levi. Then maybe he's got to go to Rochester and play, you know, just to play. But I don't know if Devin would be on board with that. Devin was totally on board, you know, going to Rochester last year. He embraced it. He improved. He took that team as his own and did a fantastic job, I thought. I'm just thinking myself. Devin Levi hasn't said a word about it. I'm just thinking myself, mm-hmm. How will he react if he gets sent down there again? But I'm thinking, is Lindy going to play Lukanen 60 games, or is he going to do it more like the Bruins do it? Where I'm going by memory, I believe Swayman might have played 44 and Allmark like 41, something on those lines. It was close. You know, is he looking at that model more than – and then Lukanen, well, you could also say maybe Lukanen was as good as he was because he played a lot and he just kept building on games and kept going. Does it affect Lukanen if he plays fewer games? You know, that's something to think about also. So we don't know if Lindy Ruff is going to play a goaltender to death like he has tended to do in his coaching career. In that case, I would think James Reimer, and I've written this and said it, I mean, he hasn't been in the minors since 2010, 2011. That doesn't mean he can't go down there. But I thought, well, maybe they did sign him to be the backup here. And then if something happens, you bring Levi back and probably throw him in goal. And then Levi's down in Rochester playing forever. So I think it all depends on what Lindy Ruff's plan is on how he wants to use goaltenders, how often he wants to use Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Paul, can you just stick around for a few minutes if I take a break? I want to ask you about the top six and then the Line A trade if I can.
Yeah.
Can we do that real quick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, we're gonna stick around Paul Hamilton here. We'll take a timeout. That way we can get this break in. We'll come back. We'll wrap up with Paul this hour, a couple of minutes with him. Josh Reed at the top of the hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right, welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio and Paul Hamilton joining me just for a couple more minutes here. We'll get you to the top of the hour. We'll get Paul out of here. Josh Reed at 11 a.m. Paul, the Patrick Laine trade. What did you think about that? And, you know, do you think the Sabres were a team that, you know, could have been and should have been interested?
I would not have been interested. I just think there's too much baggage there. I've never been – he's a goal scorer. He's a pure shooter, pure goal scorer. That's great. I just never liked the rest of his game at all. I thought he needs a kick in the butt too much. You know, you got to be on him. He doesn't always hustle. Heck of a shot, though. One of the best shooters in the National Hockey League. If he ever puts it together, you've got a great hockey player. If he ever wants to show up every night, maybe he will now. You know, he went into the program in the NHL for the mental health reprogramming. He could be a new man right now. I hope he is. You know, as somebody who has to deal with that and get help for it, I hope, you know, the help is what he needed and he has turned into a new person. And that would be great to see, you know. But as a general manager, I would not have been interested in taking that on, especially where the Sabres are right now.
A couple of offer sheets signed, Paul. How about that? Man, we're getting finally someone's doing offer sheets, and it's the same team, the Blues, which get Philip Broberg and Dylan Holloway away from the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, they overpaid, which you're going to have to do. They knew what they were doing with that. I mean, it really drains the Oilers as far as their young players. I just wish general managers weren't so afraid of it. It's a tool to make yourselves better. Is St. Louis better? Well, these two players are going to have to play blossom, and they're young still. I always say if the Sabres gave up on Tage Thompson and Casey Mittelstadt, they wouldn't have been able to have the players that they had today. Mittelstadt, they got a good defenseman in the trade for him. He is playing very well. And look what Tage Thompson has turned into. If Buffalo had given up on him at age 23, he'd be doing this somewhere else. So sometimes players are late bloomers. Maybe they just need a change. They just need a change of scenery to reach their potential. And that's what St. Louis is counting on. They're paying for potential. Like they've said it. They believe in these two players that they are going to get better. They believe they can develop them into better players. That's why they went after them. So I wish general managers would use this tool more to instead of worrying about getting people mad at them. So what if the other team is mad at you? Oh, well, you know, so I just and people say, well, now this will get rolling. I doubt it. because this happens, what, once every 5, 6, 7 years, and then we go back to nobody wants to do offer sheets anymore.
I wish it would happen more. Paul, I wanted to get to the top six, but let's shelve that. We'll do it another time sometime soon as the Sabres Prospect Challenge and training camp starts up here in a couple weeks. Thanks a lot, buddy. I really appreciate you jumping in today.
Yeah, sorry you weren't here with me.
I know. Me too. But I thank you for joining me down at the stadium when you can. You're always a big help, and I appreciate
it. No problem. We will see you tomorrow.
All right, thank you very much. That is Paul Hamilton. And, yeah, his appearance on WGR, I told you a little while ago, right? Let me just read that to you again. Did I not do this? Let me just let you know. Brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. We'll take a timeout. Josh Reed, WIVB-TV Channel 4, joins me after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.